The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Dr. Dennis Powers, retired professor of business law at Southern Oregon University, with today's Where Past Meets Present. By the way, find out more about the good doctor and his books, DennisPowersBooks.com. Hey, Dennis, welcome back. Good to have you on.
Good morning, Bill. It's always a pleasure to be with you, and there are a lot of things going on today, so where do you want to start?
I'll tell you what. Let us start with our history first, and then we'll do a little news after that. And then I want to dig into birthright citizenship because that, you know, the left came out and challenged that, including the Oregon Attorney General. You know, he weighed in on all of that. I'd like to get your take on the birthright citizenship deal. But what I want to talk about first, though, is Art Dubs. And it is how you pronounce his name, right? Dubs? Is that how you do
well,
that?
Well, Dubs.
Is it Dubs or Dubs? Okay.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting here is that if we were going to go ahead, Bill, and mention who really stands out in pioneer days, it'd be Peter Britt. But here in the 20th century, it's Art. He was born in Phoenix in 1930. Lifelong Rogue Valley resident, Bill, he started constructing homes that he designed during the post-war boom years. And some of the people I talked to stated that he was a modern-day Frank Clark. He was the original developer of the Bella Vista site on McAndrews Road.
Mm-hmm.
But with in addition to that, Bill, his love of the outdoors, which is another prime bit of his background, was that it brought him into the film industry. And so he set up, when he was 40 years old, a business, the Pacific International Enterprise Venture, which had 11 feature films in syndication and in theaters here and abroad.
And his first one, you were telling me, is American Wilderness in 1970, when he put that out,
isn't
right?
That something? Because it chronicled his big game hunting, another thing to where he just stands out to me, in the wilds from Mexico and Oregon to Alaska. As he trained and tracked, he tracked horned sheep and a huge polar bear. But then as he continued on, he had different films. One in 1975 was The Adventures of the Wilderness Family, which was a theme that we've all liked, which is about a family who fled the city for the wilderness and needed to learn how to live with nature and family. But then he also had a film, Bill, that was called Windwalker, that was nominated for an Academy Award. But it really was very different because it was subtitled in English and only Cheyenne and Crow was spoken. And it was about the Great Spirit who came to save an ancient Indian warrior who was going ahead to save his family from Indian enemy Indian raiding parties. But he continued on to where he even had films with Jack Elam, Tim McIntyre, L.Q. Jones, which was called Sacred Grounds. And even in Dream Chasers, he shut down the streets of Jacksonville to film the movie. So he really was there, had 11 credits overall as the producer, numbers of ones. But then we go into his hunting, and he felled the world's largest polar bear.
Would it be fair to say that Art was one of the Southern Oregon's truly a man's man? Would that be a good way of putting it? You look
It was, and he stands out because he not only contributed in terms of his films, because, for example, he even distributed the late, great Planet Earth, and it turns out that that he was a man of faith. But the other thing that surprised me when I really dug into it was that he set up his foundation, the Arthur R. Dubs Foundation, in 1996. But in there, he gave $250,000 to Asante to develop the cancer care center that bears his name. But the other thing, too, this really surprised me, Bill. His foundation has assets of some $21 million and typically grants $1 million-plus each year in all sorts of different supportive areas for development of kids, for teenagers, for things like this. And where I first got into him was, you know, a listener, you know, clued me into the fact you ought to take a further look at him. And I said, geez, you're right. And I looked into it. But he's the one, Bill, that set up the Youth 715, which was hiring people to mentor at-risk
teenagers. Oh, that's right. And in fact, they had a court case last year, I remember. Maybe it was a year before. Was it last year or a year before? That they got involved because the state was they were going after the state because the state was passing out grants and they wouldn't work with them because of their religious affiliation, if I recall correctly.
And this just shows you know how bad this state is in terms of politically being just outside of the real world. Is that the state and our governor pulled $400,000 of funding to Youth 715 unless it hired gay people to mentor at-risk teenagers.
Well, I'm sure glad that the state of Oregon has really good, strong principles involved here. You know, they're worried about the important stuff.
You're right, Bill. No principles. the Ninth Circuit reversed the lower court and ordered the state to pay up. And that was the Alliance Defending Freedom that, as mentioned before, they came into Oregon with three different suits and supported religion and us, the taxpayers, in these types of battles.
But thank you. I did not realize that Art Dubs was involved in actually the creation of 715. It's good to know. More good information.
Oh, he did. And the foundation is one of the largest here of the ones that we've profiled, including the Carpenter Foundation. And so this is one of those ones where one individual who was able to go ahead and without the state getting in the way created different entities that really makes our state better, despite Salem trying to go ahead and get in the way of all of us.
Fair enough. Hey, Doc, good stuff. I'm going to put this post up on KMED.com for my show blog today, okay? Hang on.
Oh, thanks.
And we got to talk we have to talk the – birthplace citizenship, or I'm just calling it the wrong thing. Sorry about that, but you know what I'm talking about. Birthright citizenship. That's what it is. And I drew a little blank there. We'll be back with Dr. Powers here in just a moment after news. Hey, something I want to remind you about, 14th annual Wipeout Hunger at Kelly's Automotive is still going on. And all you have to do is bring in 40 ounces or more of peanut butter, 10 ounces or more of jelly, to either the Grants Pass or a Medford location, and they'll put a pair of new windshield wipers on your car worth up to $35, but it's just for the cost of the peanut butter, all right? The peanut butter, the jelly, and you're helping out the people. And this week, all donations up to $500 matched by Tyler Lake from Juggernaut Marketing and Tom Randall from State Farm Insurance. That means your donations are doubled. It's Kelly's Automotive Service, Juggernaut Marketing, Tom Randall, State Farm, making a big difference here in Southern Oregon. We appreciate them.
Crater Lake Medford Mazda invites you to experience.
I'm Tony Dusty with Dusty's Transmissions, and I'm on KMED.
8:37. Dr. Powers back with me. Looking at the 14th Amendment here, Dr. Powers. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. So I guess our founding fathers and the people who created the 14th Amendment back in the day here, Dr. Powers, actually this would have been Civil War era, actually, that this was done. So they meant then for Chinese tourists to come here and give birth intentionally to create American citizens, right? That's what the intent was back then? Even back then, they knew this?
Yeah, and Bill, you know, I'm sure they were envisioning Biden and the socialists going ahead and flying in illegal immigrants to land in New York City, including those that are pregnant to give birth, and then all of a sudden you have all these freebies that are coming in. And you're right, because there's two aspects to it, and it does go back over 150 years ago in the 14th Amendment, when that was approved by three-fourths of the states. One is the fact you got to be born in the United States. The second thing is you have to be subject to the jurisdiction of the United States.
Now, they have said, or I've heard many legal eagle minds will say, well, what this means is that everybody who's here in the United States is subject to the laws. You have to follow the laws in the United States. And I'm thinking, yeah, but I don't think that grants you a citizenship privilege. But maybe I'm wrong about this. I mean, there's been some court precedent over this over the years, right?
Yeah, and your point is well taken, because the subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, in terms of the intent, was one to where if the parents, let's say we have parents that are coming in from Guatemala, mm-hmm. and they steal through the country, and they get into the country, and then Biden gets them into New York City, and the pregnant woman gives birth, subject thereof means that the parents are not U.S. citizens. The parents are citizens of Guatemala. Mm-hmm. Now, the securitist reasoning that the socialist Salem people are using is one that's saying, no, but you see, that little cherished, now they're cherished, you see.
Well, they were happy to abort the child up to that point, I guess. But, you know, I digress.
Well, actually, that's true. But now they're born, and what the story is they're saying, but these are citizens of the United States because they were born here. And that's what it means. No, that's securitist reasoning. When you go back into the intent, it was because the fact that when consuls came here, and they were legal, that if they gave birth on U.S. soil, that their child was not a U.S. citizen.
Now, but isn't there a specific exemption for, like, ambassadors, I think is what you're talking about or referencing there?
Oh, yeah, that was it's not a specific exemption. It was what was in the reason for this.
Okay.
That's what subject to the jurisdiction of the United States meant. And then we can get into what happened over 150 years ago with the Dred Scott decision, which for any law student or any attorney, it's the first thing you learn when you're going to law school, which was a bad decision that said that African-Americans weren't citizens of the United States.
But they were counted as a certain percentage. What was it, two-thirds for, what do they call it, apportionment? Apportionment's purposes? Wasn't that the case then?
Well, but you see, that Supreme Court reasoning was terrible. It was segregationist.
Mm-hmm.
But this 14th Amendment was to say that all Americans who are born here and subject to being citizens of the United States are citizens. And what we're seeing here is the socialist Salem crowd and would be ABC, CBS, NBC going ahead,
mm-hmm.
Just coming up with all this dribble.
Well, I'm not surprised that surprised though that Trump's executive order, it was really about though inviting a challenge, was it not, legally? I mean, they knew that there was going to be a challenge, and of course, Oregon's attorney general, along with many other states, 22 states, have actually sued to block this, and it has been granted an injunction for now.
Yeah, and that's correct, Bill. But 22 states out of 50, that's one thing. Think about all the other states that are saying no. Democratically run states like New York and California, with all that you're doing, no, that's not correct. And you're right, that's exactly what's coming in here. But I think where Trump is being brilliant is the fact that he learned that if you follow the money in terms of the Democratic Party, which has been hijacked to the left by Soros,
mm-hmm.
and hijacked by wealthy billionaires who are more socialistic than they are anything else, that if you follow the money, this is where it's coming in. Because when you look at the studies and also look at the surveys are much different than the way that you're finding these states now are going ahead and saying, oh, this is not constitutional.
Well, popular opinion is certainly for the Trump executive order. But
yes,
we know popularity doesn't necessarily win you at a Supreme Court challenge, though. Or does it?
That, That's right, and that's my concern. And my concern is the fact that the two that are more likely to be turncoats, and the way that they would do it, even though the intent of this is that if you sneak across the border and give birth, that person, that baby, is not a citizen.
Okay, who are you most concerned about? I mean, I know the Democrat.
Roberts.
I would say Roberts. I would even be concerned about Barrett. Okay, yeah, so we know Roberts and Barrett. What about Kavanaugh? You think Kavanaugh would be good on this or not?
I think Kavanaugh will, but here's the reason why I think these two are the ones that are going to be the greatest danger.
Why is that?
Roberts is one who is much more concerned with his legacy. We saw that in terms of his going ahead and taking the easy way out with Trump and the New York lawfare, where he said, oh, no, it continues on. We'll let the appeal process continue. Barrett, though, what people don't know about Barrett is the fact that she didn't have any type of experience other than teaching. She is a teacher, and she was the one that for all these years has been teaching law.
I have to ask you, Doctor, how is it that we kind of got snowed in so badly on Amy Coney Barrett? Because it appears obviously that the first Trump administration had a misfire with putting her on the court.
Well, that's one thing that the Republicans really seem to do. They don't take it at times as serious as the far left does, or as Clinton did. And that's really too bad, because Breyer, for example, was put in, and he was a card-carrying leftist, and Bush won because of Sonoma, felt that he would be perfect, and at the first decision it came down, he was a Democrat. Hmm. He was one that didn't believe in the Constitution. The problem with the Republicans, and this is a problem, is they say, oh, well, we got the majority, we can do, and they don't do their homework. And that's what happened with Barrett.
Well, is this one of those things where the Federalist Society, which is where I think President Trump in the first administration ended up getting a lot of the judicial picks handed to him, and through Heritage Foundation, Heritage and the Federalist Society, are they not that rigorous?
I would like to know who were the ones, and we don't know this yet, is that who were the ones that came up with the paper saying Amy Barrett is going to be good for you? Who was the individual? Like we found out at the Justice Department, and we found out in the FBI Department, and we found out at the Department of Homeland Security. We should find out who it was, because they obviously missed the boat.
So it'll really be Roberts and or Barrett who would likely be the ones to side with the Democrats on this particular issue.
Yeah, and I think the way they'll do it is the easy way out is to take the approach of saying, oh, hey, wait a minute, this is a legislative issue. This is not for the courts to get into, which is what always comes out with people that don't have the courage or their conviction.
Yeah, when they don't want to rule on it, in other words, right? They
That's
don't
right.
want to rule on it. So, it should, okay. We'll see. I hope you're wrong about that, and I would love to be wrong on this particular issue.
Oh, I would love to be wrong, too. But I just love the fact that, for example, Trump goes ahead and fires these government, quote-unquote, watchdogs because they're impediments to getting rid of DEI. And he was supposed to give a 30-day notice to Congress. And, of course, Congress is the first one to say, oh, wait a minute, you've got to give us 30 days' notice. And that's Grassley that's going ahead and saying that. Come on, guys, get in with the plan.
Okay. Well, Biden never cared much about the law. However, the one thing I would say, though, is that as thrilled as I am to see all the action of the last week, do you have any concerns or even just a slight little tickle that when the next Democrat comes in, we're going to get it good and hard the other direction? It's almost like setting precedent now, this kind of very muscular executive action. What would you say?
Well, you see, the problem was when Biden came in and he knew it was, I made a mistake there. When Obama and Jill were running the presidency, they decided right in the beginning to go ahead and to put in executive orders because they couldn't get it through to the Congress.
Right.
And then they are wiping up Trump. What I like about Trump is that he is setting the stage. He only has right now a two-position majority.
Which is not really a governing majority, unfortunately.
He doesn't have a governing majority, and so thank goodness for Trump. Bill.
But what I'm saying though isn't that just as dangerous next time though? You know, this kind of power is dangerous in the executive.
Yeah. See, I have a slightly different. It's a good point you're.
No,
making.
I'm just bringing up the concern because if Trump does it, somebody else can do it back. The other way.
Yeah, I have a slightly different take on it because the danger is not how you do it. The danger is what you do, like we saw with Biden, and what we would see if Gavin Newsom is able to go ahead as he wants to.
I think his political career, I think his political star is fading pretty quickly, though. Wouldn't you say?
I would hope so. I still have been able to locate two good friends of mine that go back decades who were in the Pacific Palisades when I was living there and working in Los Angeles and said, I've got to get out of this place, I haven't been able to find them because their houses are gone. And I would hope that'd be the case with Gavin Newsom. But you see, the problem, I think, and maybe I'm wrong, Bill, is the fact that Gavin Newsom doesn't care. He will lie. He even was lying when he was on camera saying he was trying to get in touch with the president.
Mm.
I mean, these people lie.
Well, part of the job is being able to lie effortlessly, I guess, you know, being a popular politician.
Yeah, kind of the definition of a politician, including all politicians.
All right. Well, we're going to be watching this one for sure. And how long do you think it would take to get this this 14th Amendment executive order challenge up to the Supremes? Because isn't this something that, because of the president doing, it doesn't have to go through the circuit courts first, or does it have to? What's the pathway?
It already has. Yeah, it's got to go through the federal courts because it's a constitutional question. And that's a good point you're bringing up. You're going to see on this particular case where the Republicans want to get it into the Supreme Court. But again, it's brilliant on Trump's thing because he has thrown so many things out there, knowing that the far left is just that. And that they hijacked the Democratic Party. They're going to attack him on everything. He's throwing so many stars out there, they can't go ahead and find all the comments.
See, there's the brilliance of it, because you throw so much dust in the air, so many orders, so much action going on, they can't respond to all of them, can they?
And Bill, I think that is just a brilliant point by Trump. And we just missed, you know, how many assassin bullets, you know, that we don't know about. And I really am a conspiracy theorist right now in terms of the first one that happened in Pennsylvania and the second one on the golf course saying, what in the hell was going on with the Secret Service then underneath Biden?
And doesn't it strike you as odd that even today, we know nothing about the first kid? Really nothing.
Yeah, you're right.
Isn't that weird?
You're right.
Hmm.
You're absolutely right. And think about Iran goes ahead and puts a hit contract on Trump when he's running for president. And, you know, and what was the reaction of Obama and Jill?
I think it was crickets.
Yeah, it was more like saying, oh, do not do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm sure
what did they do about it? Nothing practically.
I'm sure that held sway for sure. Hey, I wanted to ask you, though, what about, Bolton, as an example, John Bolton, who ended up losing his security clearance along with others, but also lost his Secret Service protection. And, you know, Iran, of course, put a fatwa on him. What do you think? Is that a good thing right now?
I think it is a good thing. And the reason why it's a good thing is that when Biden went ahead and pardoned people that would have been criminally indicted, we could bring other examples in, such as the Joint Chief of Staff guy. And I'll come to Bolton. Who went ahead and now is trying to save his skin, even though he was pardoned, because he gave the information to the administration as to pulling out as they did, which was a horrific thing in terms of Afghanistan. On Bolton was one that undermined Trump from the beginning. And I still am wondering why, because he was a Trump appointee. And he turned on and turned around and against every single independent and conservative, and just warmly embraced Obama and Jill. And with having no security, why in the hell should he get the security? Because my feeling is, and maybe I'm wrong, Bill, maybe I'm wrong, but Iran's not going to target him. Why would you do that? He was for you.
Okay. All right, Doctor. We'll catch you next Monday, okay? Good week.
Take care, my friend.
Yeah.
All the best.
And by the way, hang on just a moment. Hang on. I just have a couple of things we need to talk about personally, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right. 853, this is KMED, 99.3 KBXG.
This is Brent with Home and Built.
Today and take your efficiency to the next level.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Call Bill now, 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
A little bit of time left. Quick email of the day, and that is sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. While you wait, crowns available. We'll get in line. Well, just get in touch with him, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. Get your appointment, all right? And John writes me, hey, Bill, have you talked to Dr. Glenn Gamare about his court hearing coming up Friday? All of us that have gotten red light and speeding tickets the last few years need to be at court to support him. My ticket was at another intersection 2 years ago, and I still feel very violated about the whole speeding ticket thing. And that's John. All right, John, I was not aware that it was this Friday. I'm going to see if I can get him on, if I can get him on before the Friday event, so we can talk about that and more. Okay? Thanks for the update there. Wild Sam and Steve here. Hello, Steve. You got about 2.5 minutes. Can you make a good point?
Okay, well, this AI thing that the Chinese have made, this AI product that's 40 times less powerful than what I guess other people have. Is that what you said?
Yes, it requires much less overhead from the computers and from, in fact, you can also, according to what they're claiming, that it can actually run offline. So it doesn't have to be online, plugged into the servers and all the rest of it, like right in your regular device. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Okay, but in order, my son works for Siemens. He does thermal simulation, technical support for their simulation software.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to increase your accuracy by 1%, you have to have 10% more computer power.
Yeah, it goes up very dramatically. And that's what they did. They, according to what I'm reading now, I haven't been able to really study it deeply yet because it's only been out a few days. But the, 45 times more efficient, but they sacrificed some preciseness for that reason.
Right, right. So if you're trying to design something to cure cancer, right,
mm-hmm.
you're dealing with very, very small quantities, and you're trying to design something that's very, very small.
Yeah, you're not going to use DeepSeek likely to do that, right?
No, and the value of AI is to do those sorts of things. That's what the promise is, that, hey, we're going to cure cancer. We're going to, we're going to figure out all these mm-hmm. other things.
But for the average productivity of the average Joe, maybe DeepSeek or something similar to it, because remember, it's an open source. Anybody can build onto that. It's not like it's...
But what China does is they take an idea and they overwhelm the market with it in order to destroy other people so that they have the marketplace. So this is a deep fake to begin with.
Well,
I'm thinking of ham radio, the Baofeng ham radio that you could buy for $20.
I don't know. The Baofeng ham radio has kept a lot of hams on the air, too, so I don't know if I want to necessarily smack it around.
Well, I understand. But
yeah, I'm just out of time.
Brain surgery.
Yeah, I know.
Yep.
I wouldn't use my Baofeng for brain surgery, and you're right about that. Thank you.
At Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company, we provide well water services to your home and business from field to faucet. Our drilling team will construct your water well, and our technicians